roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside our beautiful home here in Las Vegas, you're listening to the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters, and I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goz on a Thursday, April 9th. Get it out of the way, Goz.
I can't believe how much the news changes from minute to minute. I mean, you go to bed, you have certain matchups, you wake up, they're gone.
Yeah. But I got to tell you, Goz, I just threw you. Picture, I'm Chris Paul, and you're DeAndre Jordan. Lob City, baby. The L.A. Clippers. Remember a few years ago? Who was the other guy they had?
Blake Griffin,
yeah. You just went up to dunk and missed.
What was I supposed to do?
You were supposed to wish our mom a happy birthday today.
Oh.
I said it Thursday, April 9th. I go, let's get it out of the way, baby. Yeah. So, happy birthday to our mom. And a lot of you know her. So, you know how much we're close to her. So, yeah, this show's dedicated to her. It's her birthday. And, yeah, Goz is right. A lot has changed, and we're going to discuss that. We actually have a card to look forward to. We have the event, the card, one shift already made in the card, a little bit of news that's out there, a shift that might be made on another card, and, unfortunately, the passing of a fighter from Bellator. So we'll discuss all that on today's show. Buckle up, folks. Here we go. It's the MMA Junkie Radio Show. What's up, Junkie Nation? Check us out on Wednesdays for the month of April as we will be on Sportscaster, www.sportscaster.com. Check us out at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, and we're going to give you an extra MMA Junkie Radio Show. Myself, Goz, and Max. All right, so we're no longer a daily show. We're twice a week, Monday and Thursday, and sometimes we just have the worst luck. So like on Monday, we kind of told you all, hey, listen, the rumor is, the word on the street, that type of thing, what we're hearing is that UFC 249 is going forward, but the fact that we're in a pandemic, you never know, but we're really hearing from our people, our sources, that something might be announced. It sure as hell was announced later that day that UFC 249 was going forward with a new main event of Justin Gaethje versus Tony Ferguson. So then guess what, folks? We kind of sat around and you know, did a lot of stuff. And those of you that know that we've, you know, extended our wings a little bit, and we host a spinning backlick every week, we kind of held on, you know, to doing that because we wanted to talk a little bit more other than just, hey, it's going down. And sure enough, we waited about as long as we could on Monday, and then we taped it. And then a few hours, or I think less than half an hour later, we knew the rest of the card. So the rest of the card included Jessica Andrade, Rose Namajunas, Jorgen De Castro versus Greg Hardy, Vicente Luque versus Nico Price. So basically fights from UFC 249, a couple coming over from the Columbus show, including Francis Ngannou and Jarzinho Rozenstruik. So a few other big names, Ray Borg, Marlon Vera, Uriah Hall, Ronaldo Souza. The point is, you looked at the card and you go, God damn, all right. So UFC, man, I mean, they're in business and they're not joking around. That's a pretty solid card. You'd be kind of a jerk to complain because you got your title fight. It's for the interim title. Does it need to be for an interim title? That's a whole other conversation. But regardless, that's the card. Now, since then, because this isn't Tuesday, we're not daily anymore. Since then, we've lost Rose, Goz. Mm-hmm. We could have actually done this show. Let's say we had done it yesterday at some point, And Rose falls off. Now we look like numbskulls till Monday when we can patch it up again, you know? So that's the part that, can be a little frustrating. And in fact, that's a quick plug to why you should follow us on social media at MMA Junkie George, at The Goes, or just check out some of the other work that we're doing, you know, like when we're catching up with other fighters. If you see some of those interviews and you see our names on the byline, we're doing video interviews with a lot of other fighters. And sometimes that news kind of casually pops up. But yeah, anyway, you know, I guess go back, channel yourself 3 days ago. You heard the news. You heard the card. You've had a few days to process it. And now we've lost a fighter. And I don't think there's a public reason as to why Rose is out, right?
There isn't, but I'm pretty sure everybody's leaning towards what's going on.
Anxiety. With not necessarily an injury, but just something that makes her feel uncomfortable. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see before we really put ourselves out there on that. But you remember how she dealt with when that card in New York, I think it was 205, when McGregor and his henchmen destroyed that bus. Remember, Rose was really, really affected. She went out and she performed and she won. But either way, I think she took a whole year off. And then she took that vicious slam in Brazil. She was almost going to retire again. So who knows what's going through her head. And I'll give her a pass. She's Thug Rose, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Yesterday, we were talking about this. We, in the month of April, we now do an extra show with Sportscaster. And in our Sportscaster broadcast, we were talking about just how high of a favorite she is in the matchup, right? When we were looking at the odds.
Yeah, she was about minus 200 or something.
225, I think, is as high as she got. And we were citing the fact that, you know, at the end of that last fight, she contemplated not fighting again. I mean, she just did not like that feeling. And, you know, we brought up some of the psychological issues that she's had ever since that incident in Brooklyn. So this does not surprise me that much, you know, that I was actually shocked that she was going through with it all, even under these circumstances. So to see that happen is not that shocking, but that's definitely something, it's hard to really say, like, maybe her head's not in it or whatever, because I would understand these feelings. And I don't think that that'll be the last fight. I think you might get another fighter that would maybe do that. Remember, these guys still have to clear, guys and gals, clear getting a negative test too, right for coronavirus. Card, we don't know what it's going to be yet.
You can be a carrier and have mild symptoms for sure. Yeah. Here's another thing. Yesterday we interviewed Francis Ngannou and Eric Nixick, one of his coaches, and one of the questions I asked them was, well, do you guys have any questions for the staff when you get there? Like, do you have a list of how you expect to be treated? And by that I mean, like, your living quarters for the week, your, where will you train? Will it be on the same mats as another team? Because Eric and Francis almost have this partnership, like a couple that's dating in a way. They committed to only themselves, and so only those two went to Extreme Couture to hit mitts and do some strength and conditioning and things like that. In fact, one day, Eric had Francis over to his house. Eric's got three kids, goes, and a wife. So I think what Eric was telling me was, okay, bro, he goes, I'm observing the quarantine 100%, and I'm only coming out for you. And he probably told the big guy in nice words, I expect the same from you, big guy. You know what I mean? So they were still going to contemplate whether they're going to drive versus fly. And when they get there, what's their checklist? You know what I mean? Because, yeah, when you get there, the first thing you got to find out is, do you got it? And if you do, I'm pretty sure you're obviously not fighting. And then from there, where do you go? You know what I mean? All that can't be comfortable. The picture of an 18-year-old going to college, you know, like, where's my dorm? Dad, let's go get a microwave, a computer, you know, I mean, all that stuff that you just got to kind of set up. You don't know until you kind of get there. And I think that's how a lot of fighters are going to get there. So I guess I predict that there might be another matchup that falls off. Do you want to see Jessica Andrade get an opponent? Or because that was such a high profile matchup, and if Rose is not seriously hurt, would you rather preserve the matchup and just kind of say, hey, you two in about a month?
I think I would want to see her get an opponent. I at this point, I feel like it would suck to just put in all that time and be that close and not get anything. if we're already going through all these fights, I mean, I guess I wouldn't mind seeing her get an opponent.
Jessica's in Vegas, by the way.
Is she?
Yeah. And I wonder if I'm the UFC, would you say, hey, girl, come over here and let's test you? Because if you got it, there's no sense in saying, yo, Angela Hill. Mm-hmm. And I'm joking because she's always the one that subs in late. But if you're going to go through all that trouble at Tachi Palace, why not call her over and say, let's test you now. If you got it, then let's let you chill and we'll worry about you and Rose down the road before we even go through all this other stuff, right?
Why not, right? Why not?
She's in Vegas. If she was still in Brazil, I'd go, well, we're not going to fucking go from there to here. And I think we just test her in Brazil, but I heard she's in Vegas. So this is, I bet you the UFC's probably got something similar to what Donald Trump has, and he's got the coronavirus task force, I think he calls it, right?
Yeah.
I think Dana has probably had to come up with whatever that group is called. I think Burt Watson's title was UFC site coordinator. So he has a site coordinator, and then he's, you know, obviously their security team has expanded over the years, and their site coordinator team, I think there's probably got to be a little bit of a task force for this type of stuff, because these fighters are going to be bussed individually, you know, like private vans, private cars, flown. This is going to be interesting. Now, the UFC, so here's some other news, guys, now that I think about it. The UFC announced the card. The UFC announced they're going forward. The UFC announced the new main event. It's for the interim title. We're not thrilled about that either. Habib's not injured. It's not been a year or nothing like that. But all right. More importantly, what I was going to get to is they announced the site. It's Tachi Palace in Lemoore, California. Tachi Palace is a Native American casino with hotel, resort. That place is closed down. The UFC has access to all of it. So the UFC probably struck a deal. And Tachi Palace is probably like, cool. I don't know if they can replenish and replace, you know, what they make from gambling. I really don't know. Oh, but if the UFC said, hey, look, we, you know, we're paying you rent, and we want it all. There's $5 million, you know, I don't know, I'm making numbers up. And Tachi Palace thinks, well, hell, we don't even know when we were going to turn back on. Sure, you got yourself a deal, I guess. Then they might be okay with it. They love MMA. They hosted a whole series called Tachi Palace Fighting Championship or something like that. Plus, before that, Tachi Palace used to host the original WEC, which was eventually bought by the UFC and folded into Zuffa. And that's where guys like Uriah Faber and Dominic Cruz and Nick Diaz and Gilbert Melendez and the list goes on and on. Carlos Condit, those guys came over from WEC. They had 24 of 26 shows there at one point. So they love it. The only problem is it doesn't matter that they love it and their fans in that area love it because no one can go. But still, it was just, I think it was easier to probably sit down with the head of the tribe, the chief, I guess, and say, hey, listen, you didn't have to start with square one and go, you ever heard of MMA? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was. Yeah,
they're familiar. MMA hardcores are familiar with that location.
Yeah, so they're there for the next 2 months, goes, and it's in California. So when you kept hearing the ESPN people say the UFC's going forward, it's going to be on the West Coast, I think I may have said something along the lines, I'm hearing the Apex. Well, I was wrong. It's Tachi Palace.
Well, I'm still not, oh man, I mean, I don't want to be so negative, but who knows? Maybe they'll get this first show off, but, you know, there's always the possibility that the commission reacts negatively towards all this, right? They can get pressure too, and that's where they may be able to throw out, all right, anybody involved, any judges, any referees, we just don't do this out here in California. You could receive a fine, a suspension. Who knows if that puts pressure in those regards. And as we've seen in the past, commissions usually follow suit. So something like that would happen in California might carry over to Nevada, New York. You never know. So I think the first show, I'm confident it's going to go off. I don't think it's going to look the same way it looks today. I feel like maybe another fight will drop off, but maybe another one will be added. But I don't know about, you know, for the next month or the next 2 months, just seeing show after show. I think we still need to cross that hurdle.
Yeah. The whole You said you took a peek at some of the action at WrestleMania?
I mean, just little clips here and there, yeah.
Did you think much of it? Was it worse than Tough, like with just no one there, or...
There was nobody there.
Or, we can't even say original Dana White Contender Series, because original Dana White Contender Series in the original gym had some pop to it. Mm-hmm. Remember, we were like, where's the security, man? These families are going to go at it.
Like, it seemed like there was nobody there. Nobody at all. So, I mean...
So when we all sit around and say, I want Habib and I want Tony and I'll even take it in my backyard, we're kind of being dumb because, no, we want it with fans. We want it in an arena. Like,
You know what the weirdest part about the whole thing was? There were a lot of times where I guess the wrestlers are just used to doing things that revolve around pointing at the crowd or getting them to say something. They would still kind of do it. It was just dumb. Like, there was nobody in the crowd. I don't know why you're doing it. But
Did Vic McMahon mess up? Should he have said, WrestleMania will now be in October?
Me personally, I would have done that just because WrestleMania is just so unique. First thing when they ever show, like Pontiac Silverdome, what's the first thing they ever show with Andre before they even get to the Slam? They show how big and how many people were actually there. Like, that's part of the whole thing. Even if you go back to WrestleMania 9, which we went to, it was smaller. It was great that it was in Las Vegas, but it was one of those outdoor stadiums that they would build, and there just wasn't that many people there. And even that kind of felt a little weird because it was a WrestleMania, but I think that's one of the big things about them is just the amount of crowds and how now they do them in stadiums and all that. I think that's part of the allure of WrestleMania. So,
because we've been to a WrestleMania?
Yeah, fool.
We went. The one where Yokozuna came out and I think he won, and then Hulk slammed him and then he won?
Yeah, it was WrestleMania 9.
I remember the event. I forgot it was a WrestleMania.
Yeah. We've been to a WrestleMania.
And so now I think somebody asked me the other day, you ever been to one? I'm like, no, I want to go to one day. But yeah, I forgot technically we went to a WrestleMania.
Yeah, we went to one WrestleMania and two Royal Rumbles, but we've never been to a SummerSlam or a Survivor Series.
Is that when we saw Lex Luger and his wife or somebody arguing and it looked really intense, like domestic abuse might be taking place soon?
Yeah, that one, Damian Demento and Tito Santana were playing blackjack together. They had just fought. There was a lot of weird things that weekend.
Damian Demento, if you would have told me, George, I got a bag right here. It's got $1 million. You can have it if you tell me who Tito Santana was playing blackjack with, and I'll give you 1 million guesses. I would have went, deal. I would have shook your hand. Well, maybe I would have elbowed you. And I would have said, all right, Hulk Hogan, Lex Luthor, Greg the Hammer Valentine. Blah, blah, blah. And then I would have pulled up probably Wikipedia, anyone who's ever wrestled. I probably would have skipped by that name just because I know I have 1 million to use and I don't want to use it. And I swear to God, I probably would have said stuff like Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, you're the one that's
Shaq O'Neal. I wouldn't want to waste something on who? David Demento? What was his name?
Damian Demento. You spotted him too, because remember he's got the whole shaved
head.
How
would I don't even remember that name. I know him and Greg Hammer Valentine had a rivalry, but Damian Demento. All right. We went off the rails there, but I've been to a WrestleMania, folks, so I can knock that off my list. Yeah. WrestleMania, back to that. You said it just didn't look right, and I don't know how this is going to look. I guess I'm happy that the fighters are getting paid. You know, you saw the relief on Francis's face. He wants to fight. He's going to get paid. And look, folks, right about now is when this is something you're just going to hear out of every media member. I think, unless they're kind of lying to you, this is the part where we go from criticizing the fact that maybe they're coming back too soon to saying, well, we've already stated our opinion. We're not stopping it. It's happening. So now, react. You know, like, what are our thoughts? Who do we think is going to win? Or were the right decisions made as far as the card goes? So back to that, you know. Gaethje versus Ferguson does a few things. It shouldn't be for the interim title, but it is. Mm-hmm. But by being for the interim title, the winner automatically gets a shot at Habib. So what that's done is the McGregor puzzle. What happens to McGregor is the next question. He can only hope that the winner of this fight has a little nagging injury that doesn't allow him to face Habib, similar to what happened with Colby Covington when he beat RDA. He couldn't go against Woodley. So Woodley had to fight Till. They took Covington's belt away, and that was that. But if one of these guys comes out healthy, they get Nurmi. So that was the winner here was Gaethje. Except Gaethje has to fight a beast that hasn't lost in 10 years off of 10 days notice. Maybe a little bit more than that. I think that Khabib was pretty much out as of about a week ago or maybe even more. And Ali manages both guys, so Ali probably already started saying, hey, get out there and run. You know, do what you need to do. So, yeah, there's a big trickle effect on that decision. So if McGregor's out, what do we do with McGregor? You know, you can always point to Nate Diaz part three. Maybe he should knock on Floyd's door and say, you want to box again? You know, I don't know. A lot of stuff happened, man, on Monday with that announcement.
I mean, I think on the inside, I think we'd all be fools if we weren't thinking the UFC is also thinking, should something happen to Tony or Justin, which they both fight like animals. I mean, I don't remember.
Yeah, they don't end in round one.
I don't remember any fights where at the end of the night they look relatively normal. They're usually pretty banged up. So if something like that happens, yeah, that's where you come in and you go, we'd love to make this fight. We just can't because one of them's hurt. You know, I mean, Khabib has been pretty clear about when he'll be ready, you know, possibly late August, early September, around there. Probably sounds about right. So it's not like we don't know what's going on with the guy, which is why I think it's strange to do interim title, but whatever. I think it just confuses people. So maybe that's where they throw in Conor. And I mean, that's where it just becomes pro wrestling. I hope it doesn't happen that way, but it's definitely a possibility.
With how big Khabib and Conor too can be, is that when you wait for arenas to be full, the pandemic to be over? I mean, you need people sitting side by side next to each other like the first one, I think.
You right? Hope so. Yeah, yeah. You hope.
Conor will probably have to take a fight before then.
Well, it depends, you know, because that's going to be a little bit of a pissing match too, because Khabib has just been very adamant about, I don't want to give that guy, he doesn't deserve a rematch. So who knows how much power he actually has. We'll probably find that out, right, with the UFC, and I think it'll be a pissing match between both of them. There's another thing, too, that you have to think about. If Justin Gaethje wins that fight, he fights Khabib, and those are two Ali clients. I'm sure he's probably not too fired up about that. He's had to do that before with Cejudo and Marlon Moraes, but he's probably the guy that has all the chips and knows everything that's going to happen because he's dealing with both camps, both sides of it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got to see how all this plays out. So did I give the card out already?
Maybe no.
I should have. This is the complete card for UFC 249. You got Justin Gaethje versus Tony Ferguson. They're going to go five rounds, folks, because it's for the UFC interim lightweight championship. So dumb. That doesn't need to happen. Jessica Andrade versus fill in the blank is the co-main event. I don't think it'll be the co-main event if they can't get a big name in there. I can only think of maybe Tatiana Suarez going, you know, my neck's been feeling better. I'm right up the street. Then I guess it could be the co-main event. But I don't know what's going to happen there. I think what they'll do is pull Uriah Hall and Ronaldo Souza. I think they really want to keep Rozenstruik and Ngannou on big ESPN.
Yeah.
He was thrilled about it.
He really wants it.
Yeah, because he knows ESPN goes throughout the world. You know what I mean?
That's a big hit, though, isn't it? I mean, yeah. And they're such big names.
And, you know, I've heard they could still be on ESPN versus the pay-per-view, but I see almost half and half where it's still a pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. And it's on ESPN. I haven't been able to get clarity.
I hope it is on ESPN because asking people for a lot of money right now, they're going to do it. There's a lot of people that are going to do it, but it's just a rough time for everyone.
Jorgen De Castro and Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy's got asthma. Remember the inhaler?
Mm-hmm.
Nico, why do I say that, folks? Because those that are asthmatic should really, really be careful with COVID-19. We should all be careful with COVID-19. But anybody in your family who has asthma, really, really look out for them. Vicente Luque versus Nico Price. Calvin Kattar versus Jeremy Stephens. Francis Ngannou versus Jarzinho Rozenstruik. Uriah Hall versus Ronaldo Souza. That's Jacare. Alexander Hernandez versus Omar Morales. Ray Borg versus Marlon Vera. Michael Johnson versus Kama Worthy. Sajara Eubanks versus Sarah Morass. Sam Alvey versus Ryan Spann. So there's 12 fights if they fill in for Rose. And if not, we're down to 11. And the other cards are already getting announcements made. So throughout the week, we were hearing about what's happening at the next card, which is UFC on ESPN Plus 31, again, at Tachi Palace. It was supposed to take place in Lincoln, Nebraska. That had Anthony Smith versus Glover Teixeira, Ovince St. Preux, Cynthia Calvillo, you know, a few other names. So, and by the way, did you hear about Anthony Smith?
Yeah. The dumbest burglar of all time.
Yeah. But that guy didn't come in to burglarize. He was just on drug, high on something, goofing off, right? In the computer room or something like that?
Apparently he had some sort of camp or something because he lasted about 5 minutes, right, with Anthony Smith. He gave him all he could handle.
Yeah, he sure did. I think that sounds like PCP to me. Like he said he was only 170 pounds. Anthony Smith, guys, is probably walks around at 235, 240, and he's all of 6'4". And he said that was the toughest fight he's ever had. He was putting it on the guy, but the guy was still coming at him. So that, to me, just tells me some of that super Heyman strength that one gets from Pete. That's not a pothead. That's not a drunk.
That, you know? And Anthony Smith needs to work a submission game, right?
I think that's the best thing. It's just, I don't. If you're on PCP, you can put someone to sleep. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's just the route. Use that black belt, Anthony Smith. All right, so yeah, so there's been some other fight bookings along the way, and when you see them, if they're not on UFC 249, if you see, you know, sometimes people don't click onto the story, they get lazy. If you see UFC Fight Night 31, it's all happening at Tachi Palace, and they're, if it was going to go down the week after the Brooklyn show, well, it's still going to go down. They're not changing that. It's just 1 week later at Tachi Palace with no crowds, and like we were stating earlier, Marvin Vittori and Carl Robertson was another one. Like we were stating earlier, here's where things can change. Today's Thursday the 9th. Again, happy birthday, Mom. On the 18th, which is 9 days away, a lot can change. Not just can a fighter like Rose pull out. For whatever reason it is, we don't know officially. The California State Athletic Commission is in a pickle here. They cannot oversee the tournament because they're respecting the wishes, or the not the wishes, but the state of California has basically told everyone stay at home, and unless you're in essential business, you're not functioning anywhere in the state of California. That's why the UFC had to go to tribal land, because 97% of the United States is under that, under those orders.
It's a workaround.
Yeah, and so they're in the state of California technically, but they're on tribal land, so the tribe governs itself. There will be no state athletic commission. However, ABC, which kind of oversees boxing, combat sports, and you know they're the ones that kind of come up with the official rules for how the sport needs to function. They have stated that there could be sanctions against those that take place on this card. In other words, these aren't going to be sanctioned bouts, is what they're saying. And that can extend over to the commission or the judges and refs.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they going to do, you know?
Timekeepers, all those types of people that work with the commission.
Right. Could there be so much pressure that maybe none of the higher ranked refs or the higher looked upon refs or judges, you know, are... They're not gonna be there, and they're not gonna work. I don't know, man.
Not to mention, still gotta make weight under these weird circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
They still gotta deal with USADA, right? USADA said they're still gonna try their hardest to maintain some sort of presence. So you still gotta deal with that. I mean, just I honestly don't think this card is gonna look the same way it will in a few days, but I think they'll find replacements.
I'm trying to think, USADA. USADA, how can they affect?
Well, they put out, I think, a tweet or some sort of statement the other day that they said, we're still going to try our hardest within our means.
So the way that, I'm trying to think, the way that affects it is, if I'm USADA, I shouldn't be able to go into your house, technically, right? Let's just say you're a clean fighter. I mean, it's just Let's just say you're a clean fighter. But if I'm USADA and I knock or I call and I go, I'm 30 minutes away, are you home? You could go, listen, man, I'm clean or, you know, whatever, but you really are. But no one goes into my house. I have kids. We're quarantined. I never thought that one through.
What is California? Is it three people now?
Yeah.
I mean, they're, Plus, I think
they're doing a lot of the swabbing in the mouth. A lot of things changed in the last few months with USADA that I got to catch up on.
It could get tricky.
I think a lot of them were swabbing in the mouth. And I guess the fighter could, you know, could leave the house and go to you. Who knows? Yeah. But USADA did make an announcement. I think all the athletes are aware. They haven't stopped testing. Rogan and Cormier sound like they're in if they have to be. They got their conditions. I'm driving to the event. I'm driving home. Although I haven't heard that from Rogan. Rogan first said, I'm not doing it. Then Dana White said, Rogan will be there. Kind of makes sense. Tachi Palace is right between Rogan and Cormier. Rogan's in L.A. Cormier is kind of like in San Jose. But if they both drive 2 hours north and south, not respectively because Rogan goes north and Cormier goes south, they can be there. I'm telling you, man, every day we're finding out more and more. But as of right now, the event's going forward. And that's that. All right, some other news. We will go with the passing of a Bellator fighter that was shot dead in his Akron home. He only fought once for Bellator. It was in 2019. His name is Isaiah Chapman, but he was shot dead outside his Akron home, goes, and apparently they still haven't found the suspect. Man, that's chilling, you know what I mean? I know he only had the one fight in Bellator, and apparently he had some other fights aside from that, but that's just, oh.
That's a scary situation, yeah. I mean, as of right now, I think the guy's still on the loose, whoever did that. And just so sad, you know, somebody with a bright future like that.
Multiple times outside of his home. I wonder what happened here, if this was random.
It's pretty chilling in the sense that with everything that's going on right now, crime has gone down a bit. And you tend to forget about these stories, you know, that have been happening, shootings and stuff like that. Our minds are so preoccupied with other things right now that when you hear that, you just kind of get that chill, that reminder, like, oh yeah, well, this stuff still happens from time to time.
Yeah. All right, listen. We are going to be back on Monday, and there's going to be a few things we'll talk about probably more officially than what I'm about to give you right now. UFC 250 was going to be headlined by Henry Cejudo versus Jose Aldo. Officially, from what we know, that's still on. But I'd be lying to you if I told you on Monday that'll probably still be the case. There's a report out there that states that Aldo may be out and Dominic Cruz might be in. But we haven't been able to get confirmation. So, again, with our luck, by noon today when we're having lunch, it'll be official.
Mm-hmm.
But just look out for that story, folks. That might happen. Frankie Edgar tried to step in as well. And I know a lot of you are like, Frankie, again? He just had a title shot. You know, he has. He's had his fill of title shots. But he's been Johnny on the spot. Him and Uriah Faber, look, they'll win enough fights to do it. Or they're willing to do it on late notice or whatever. But what he hasn't had is a bantamweight title shot. That's the difference. He's had the lightweight. Of course, he deserved the ones that he earned and the ones he defended and all that. He had the featherweight because I think we all said, he's Frankie Edgar. Don't you remember what he did as a lightweight? So he had a few of those passes. No, I shouldn't say passes, but you know, he earned a few of the shots. But this one's different, goes. He's never fought as a bantamweight. How do you feel?
With what's going on in the world right now, I think all the rules are just sort of put aside, especially when it comes to Frankie Edgar for some reason. So if something like that were to go down, I mean, I think they're just trying to make fights, really. And some people are stepping up.
And Aljo's kind of said, I don't want to take a fight without having a proper camp.
Mm-hmm. Peter Yan's probably in Russia right now.
He could be stuck in Russia. We'd have to find out where his deal is.
So there's so many different circumstances that are surrounding this that I would not be shocked if something like that went down.
Yeah.
I mean, plus, like, you gave a guy coming off a loss a shot. You know, that doesn't make sense to begin with.
True.
So really, at that point, it's like, I don't see why that would bother them at this point.
Yeah. On a funny note, we'll end with Conor McGregor, a tweet that he put out. He's not saying he's the baddest man in the world or, hey, look at me, I'm a champion. He just put something else out and said, Conor's left hand, Anderson's front kick, Ronda's armbar, Hendo's bomb, Krokop's high kick, John's side kick, to the knees over and over again. And actually, the only thing at this stage with a question mark. Oh, man. That right there is funny within the tweet. Then he continues, Habib's little mermaid leg wrap thing he does. What a sport. Who's the greatest? You already know. Well, I guess he does imply he's the greatest. Mm-hmm. He should have said, who has the greatest weapon? Then I think he could give votes. Connor's left hand is pretty amazing. It's
pretty brutal, yeah.
Yeah. Anderson's front kick, I think it was just the overall kicking game, but his hands were pretty lethal. He had the one beautiful front kick against Vitor Belfort.
I think.
And then Ronda's armbar, she won enough fights from her armbar to go, that's a weapon.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, I think Anderson, the whole Lieben thing started with a head kick, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think he should have said Anderson's kicking game or something like that. Just mm-hmm. something that allowed him to brag about other kicks. Hendo's H-bomb, yeah, of course, that one worked many times. Krokop's high kick, I think it was the right one will send you to the hospital and the left one will send you to the morgue. But the little jab at John, it was so unnecessary. I always felt like John was kind of a fan of Connor in a way.
Yeah.
He says, John's sidekick to the knees over and over again. And actually, the only thing at this... So what he's saying is, he never really had power. Has he had power lately? And, you know, he's kind of barely winning fights. And he's throwing kicks, but he's not knocking fools out. But he's got this little kick to the knee thing. You know, those linear kicks mm-hmm. or the oblique kicks. That was funny. So that's Conor McGregor at the Notorious MMA, if you're not the only person on the planet who doesn't follow him at this point. And, folks, I think that's it for today, man. I think we covered it all, right, guys?
Yeah.
The card, the changes, you know, what might be coming forward, you know, with Brazil and that Lincoln-Nebraska card, that's going to take place at Tachi Palace. So just keep it locked on MMA Junkies, all I can tell you. On MMA Junkie, Goz and I, we're doing our part in the editorial side. Told you about an interview with Francis Ngannou that we had. We had one with Rich Franklin and Daniel Cormier. Ray Cooper, we'll be talking to him later today. Of course, the spinning back clicks, check that out at the beginning of the week. We do that every week. We haven't missed a week in over half of a year that we've been doing it. No off guards. That's why we're doing more video and no rankings report because there's no fighters to rank. But on social media, you can follow us. I'm at MMA Junkie George. Goz is at The Goz. And the radio show's at MMA Junkie Radio. And lastly, on Sportscaster, every Wednesday, Goz and I hop in there for an hour and answer some questions and go over some of the latest news. And it's been helpful in a way because we've been able to basically, you know, since we're doing it on Wednesdays, we're tightening everything up from what's going down on, you know, since Monday. And Sportscaster's will be on Saturday, April 18th for another watch-along. So that'll be cool because we kind of have almost done every pay-per-view for the last 2 years, it seems like. And we're going to do a special show on April 17th. So that's Friday, the day before UFC 249. And we don't know the time yet, but I believe it'll be post-real weigh-ins and pre-ceremony. Is there even a ceremonial weigh-in at this point? And when Goz and I are going to play some video games, we're going to use some of the fighters from the video game that apply to UFC 249. We'll do a preview of the card itself once the fighters have made weight. So definitely keep an eye on that, and that's why I'm telling you guys to follow on social media. And with that, we're out of here. It's time to call Mom, Goz, and wish her a happy birthday.
I'm down.
Yeah. All right, folks. Be safe out there. Keep fighting the fight. COVID-19 is starting to lose a few rounds, so let's finish this thing off strong so we can get back to our normal lives. And like always, even though you're stuck at home, there's no reason why you shouldn't still try and act like a champion.